Moscow Speaking and Broadcasting. This is Valery Solovey. This is episode 119 of the program, Answers to Hot Questions, which you will see on Saturday, September 27th, at 7 p.m. I already warned you that the broadcast times, of the segments were a bit off this week, but starting next week I hope to return to the schedule that is familiar to all of us, meaning both you and me, where on Monday I will come out with an analytical review of the previous week, and on Thursday I will answer your questions. Right now, I'm answering questions, and I'll start with the questions that came in first. So, I'll literally start at the bottom of the chat and work my way up, and then, halfway through, I'll go to the very beginning and start working my way down. I hope to get to the middle. So, after saying a prayer, let's get started. Vadim asks, winter is coming, and Russia can't cope with its internal problems. Housing and utility bills are rising in the Russian Federation. What will happen to a satellite like the Pridnestrovian Moldavian Republic? What kind of winter awaits us, and will there be gas or not? I'm inclined to believe that the Russian Federation won't abandon us to our fate, just as it hasn't abandoned its own, as you put it, with this elite. Gas will flow, although perhaps with some interruptions. This can't be ruled out. But these interruptions aren't due to a gas shortage, but rather to geopolitical issues. Quote. Dimitri asks, I understand that history is impatient with the subjunctive mood. However, would you like to personally communicate with the deceased before 2008, meaning the late Putin? When things weren't so bad, not in the sense of trying to reason with him or exchange opinions. Yes, it would have been extremely interesting and instructive, although I'm sure I would have gotten some benefit from it. But my interlocutor would hardly have gotten any benefit from it, since by 2008, he was absolutely certain not only of his own rightness, but also of having his own great mission. And here's the famous phrase, remember, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. By that time, it was already in full swing. Well, if you prefer, we can do without that phrase and simply say that a person with inherently weak empathy, and the deceased apparently had inherently weak empathy, if it was present at all, had already completely degraded by that point. Atrophied, and he began to behave, I would say, like an anthropomorphic creature. Well, including thanks to some members of his inner circle. It's not that there weren't people in this inner circle who wanted to have a positive impact. There were such people. They made their efforts to positively influence the agenda and the course that President Putin was charting at the time. Well, basically, their hopes sank into oblivion. Their hopes, let's say, were dashed by such a youthful slang. What are your team's plans? Yuri asks. Regarding the recycling fee on imported cars. Yes, the plans are very simple. Return the recycling fee to its previous values, but unfortunately, I can't tell you right now exactly when this will happen. Okay, I'm getting up. Will the fake Putin go to Lithuania? No, there will be no military operation. Hybrid actions within the framework of the hybrid operation are being carried out and will continue to be carried out for some time. Moreover, they are being carried out. This is very important to know from tacit encouragement of the American administration. Earthquake in Kamchatka. They say there's a magmatic plume under Siberia that will destroy the entire planet if nothing is done. Have you heard anything about this? How real and dangerous is it? It's a fabrication. Here, this gentleman, I believe it's a man, he constantly leaves the same question under my videos. I've already answered once that all this is fiction, absolute fiction, and there's no need to spread these fabrications. The world has enough real problems, real fears, and real concerns. There's no need to multiply them. If and when your team comes to power, well, it will definitely come to power. It's already in power to some extent, but only partially. Will the Sverdlovsk region be renamed Yekaterinburg, the Leningrad region to St. Petersburg, the Leningrad military district in St. Petersburg? Do you think this is a priority? Let's also rename the police, the militia. There are still 200 more name changes to be made. You want to waste effort on this. You want the state, or rather, to waste effort and money. I don't see any point in this. There are more pressing, urgent, and pressing issues that we will need to address. First of all, to briefly summarize the totality of these issues, the problem is how to get out of the crisis into which the country is plunging and plunging every day, and you see it. How many clashes will we still have to endure before peace comes at the turn of the year, at the turn of spring and summer and fall of the next year? Valentina asks. After all, peace depends on one person in the Kremlin, otherwise peace would have come long ago. No, Valentina, you are mistaken. Peace does not depend on one person. The ability of the Russian Federation to launch military action depended on one person. And this person was able to bend the will of the elite over his knee. Because not everyone wanted military action against Ukraine. Far from everyone. But the fact is that some processes, when they are launched, and such large-scale ones, processes such as military action and the large-scale confrontation between Russia and Ukraine, are not so easy to stop. It's like trying to stop a moving train. Even if you command the train, as in the well-known joke, train 101-2, it still won't stop. It will continue moving for quite a long time due to inertia. Why are they telling PTV? Konstantin asks that the state is developing and building everything and fulfilling all its programs. Why all this showmanship? Showmanship to pull the wool over our eyes and pull the wool over our eyes. That's all, to show that the situation is much better. And maybe many people think so. Maybe it's just our neighborhood, our town, that's bad, or maybe things are going well in Russia overall. If the police are inactive, the prosecutor's office isn't responding, asks Ala. Where else can disabled pensioners turn? A very difficult question. Since this lack of response is typical of Russian bureaucracy these days, for Russian bureaucracy. This has always been typical, but now I'd say it's manifesting itself in some grotesque forms, in some exaggerated form. Try writing to the administration of your locality. Try writing to the governor of the region where you live. Try writing to the presidential administration. Try writing to the investigative committee. I'm not sure this will bring results, but after all, you can prepare a single letter, as they say, like a carbon copy, and send it out. The Z channels are warming up. So they're asking about John Doe regarding the second wave of mobilization. Is this a fake, or was the folder with the decree from the 21st, meaning the two first days of September 22nd, taken out and placed in a prominent place on the right steel? As far as I know, and I know quite well, this information is absolutely untrue. This is more like fear-mongering by Z channels. This is how they shape their own agenda. What will happen? The 26th of February 2026? Will Wolf Messing's predictions be announced? I've never heard of any of Wolf Messing's predictions, not really any big ones, much less ones that would be announced on that day. I'm sure nothing will happen. Again, don't believe this nonsense. Igor asks, what questions does your team prohibit you from answering, and which ones do you decide not to answer? Our team doesn't prohibit answering any questions, but sometimes it gives recommendations in a particular context not to touch on certain topics, because if these topics are discussed, and especially if we say what we know about what's happening, it can have a negative impact on the situation. Therefore, sometimes we are forced to remain silent. I draw your attention to the fact that we are not supposed to lie, but to remain silent. That is, not to tell the whole truth. As for what questions I decide to answer or not answer, well, firstly, there are plenty of strange or frankly profound questions. Sometimes I answer if the question is repeated, but very often I ignore them. Yes, I ignore them. That's the first thing. And secondly, Very often people ask questions that they can easily find the answer to themselves. By turning to some search engines, to artificial intelligence, why would I answer such questions? And finally, the third thing that especially touches me is when people, under the guise of asking a question, try to get confirmation of their own point of view. You see, if you ask a question, you're asking my opinion. My opinion isn't necessarily, and very often doesn't coincide with the a priori opinion of this or that person. And when I express my opinion, and they ask me a question, these people get offended, say that you're lying, or that you don't know, or that you're not in the know. Believe me, I'm quite well educated, quite well. After all, I'm a doctor of historical sciences and a professor, and I've seen a lot, I know a lot, and I know much more, well, I would say, than the overwhelming majority of our compatriots, and not only our compatriots. If I say something, I speak from a position of awareness. Do you agree with it or not? That's your business. But then don't ask questions, don't try to find out my opinion if you're sure you're right. I'm not going to confirm or deny that you're right. I'm saying what I know. How soon will the purge within the elite reach the Hawks? It seems like they're all in their places for now. Well, first of all, not everyone is in their places. Some they're about to leave their posts. Well, let's say, Mr. Krasnov's transfer from the post of Prosecutor General to the post of Chairman of the Supreme Court. Yes, this is, of course, a purge, but this transfer is by no means entirely horizontal. It is, after all, a loss of some influence, it seems to me. That's the first thing. Secondly, the Hawks' turn will come. Every vegetable, every fruit has its time. The time has not yet come, but it will. According to Umberto E., Russia was a fascist state long before the outbreak of hostilities. Will there ever be universal recognition of this fact in Russia? Notice that this person asks his question within a priori view that Russia was a fascist state, and he cites Umberto E. Russia has never been a fascist state. Never. Yes, it had clearly expressed authoritarian features, which are now clearly visible to us, our contemporaries, and there were also totalitarian times, but it wasn't a fascist state. Based on what fascism is, and I was interested in this question specifically as an academic scholar and wrote, well, several books. I don't want to say that it wouldn't be true about fascism, or about right-wing radical ideologies. So, a list of socially significant sites that won't be disconnected from the internet was published, including banking sites. Is there a chance that banks not included in this list will be closed like cleaning up 10 years ago? We've already lost money, we don't want to repeat that. There's no direct connection between the presence of a particular banking site on the whitelist and the bank's prospects for continued existence. There is no direct connection. I'll explain why. Because the whitelist included the sites of the largest banks. These are 10 or 20. I don't know how many banking sites there are, but there are still several hundred banks in Russia. Another thing is that they really intend to reduce their number. That's true. That is, the central bank will pursue a policy of reducing the number of banks. Be implemented, but not as intensively as before. They're afraid of complications, and the situation is already extremely difficult, and I mean the situation in the financial and banking sector. Creating new points of crisis, new lines of tension, well, that would be reckless. Has anyone even entertained the idea of removing the mausoleum? Yes, it has. Well, you don't have to remove the mausoleum, you can just repurpose it. Just think about what could be in the mausoleum. But burying Lenin's body, I think, is a completely worthy and fair assumption. But again, this is not a task for today. Once again, the country will have much more important and pressing tasks and problems that will need to be addressed, well, frankly, some in an emergency mode. Under your rule, the Russian community will disappear and its leaders will be imprisoned. Well, you can't imprison people just because they belong to the Russian community. If they committed crimes, yes, they can be prosecuted. Decisions will be made to court. You want me to act as a judge, a prosecutor, and probably even an executioner all rolled into one. No, that won't do. I'm not at all against the existence of the Russian community, the Armenian community, or the Chechen community. Another thing is that all these organizations, ethnocultural, cultural, national cultural organizations, must exist and operate within the law. If they operate within the law, I don't see any problems with the existence of any organizations at all. Well, even more so, I can't a priori say, let's put everyone in jail. Let's do it, like they did in ancient times, with decimation. We'll put every 10th official to death. Do you think the bureaucracy will earn better after that? I'm afraid not. YouTube started working without a VPN. Is this a glitch for some operators, or is it a deliberate policy? It's not a deliberate policy. These are problems, well, in quotes or something. Without the operators' shackles, or perhaps their unwillingness to strictly follow Roskomnadzor's instructions, is it possible to restore relations between the United States and Russia while military operations continue without ending the war? Not in full. All those economic, all those business projects that are currently being discussed, which, in principle, have been theoretically prepared, will be implemented, and this is the firm position of the American side, they will be implemented only after the cessation of hostilities. Another thing is that diplomatic relations can begin to be restored in an expanded, I don't want to say in full, but in a more expanded scope, even before the cessation of hostilities. But this is also not as simple as it seems. Negotiations are underway. These are very sticky negotiations. Trump and Putin, that's right, Putin only in quotes, will only talk or agree on something too. So they are trying to reach an agreement, and, frankly speaking, not without success. Well, let's judge not by what happens under the spud, but by the results, the public ones. Results. You expect public results. Me too. I could tell you a lot about the behind-the-scenes side of politics, including international politics, the behind-the-scenes side of Russian politics. I sometimes talk about this, and, in particular, I will talk about it on October 30th as part of the planned online meeting, Revolution from Above. But I share the details that are important, you see, they are important, which can really influence the course of politics, the trajectory of Russia's development. But simply creating sensations, well, for the sake of sensation, is hardly the right communication strategy. Sensations are sometimes necessary, but not very often. Will the new government restore the people's trust in the Far East after imprisoning two honestly elected people's governors, Vyshenko of Primorsky Krai and Fergal of Khabarovsk Krai? Well, I would say that it's not that the government enjoys the people's trust. That would probably be a serious misconception. The people are very sullen about it. Well, I would say literally, as the phrase from Boris Godunov, the people are silent. Well, naturally, the new government will be interested in improving relations. Indeed, in improving relations between the state and society. I think this will lead to Fergal being released. I have no doubt about that, believe me, none at all. We'll see how everything else is implemented within the framework of policy, the policy of easing administrative, so to speak, ending administrative and legal pressure, administrative, police and legal pressure in the Russian Federation. I would say that liberties and freedoms will follow, but still within the framework of a thaw. For now, within the framework of a thaw, and not within the framework of democratization. As for free democratic elections, well, this is definitely not a prospect for next year. Absolutely. Why is Lukashenko planning a transition for the end of this year, the beginning of next, just like the Kremlin? Well, he plans to plan. Another matter is whether this transition will happen for the Belarusians at the turn of next year, I don't know. But this was the original plan. Lukashenko. And there wasn't just a plan, there was a certain agreement. I won't say with whom. And in fact, this is precisely the kind of thing that's best left unsaid, since it could get in the way. But you see that he's moving within the framework of these agreements. I'm referring to the release of political prisoners. Well, Lukashenko, as a resourceful, cunning, and intelligent person, truly a person, in my view, with an outstanding intellect, but what that intellect was directed toward is another matter. Intelligence isn't necessarily directed toward good, you know, it can very often be directed toward evil. So, within the framework of, his, let's say, his psychotype, his personality, and his own worldview, Lukashenko understands perfectly well that it would be better to get ahead of Russia, to slip out of its embrace, to avoid having conditions dictated to him during the transition or after the transition. How can we climb out of the demographic hole after the Second World War? How and with whom can we compensate for such a huge shortage of males? I heard that Russia now ranks first in the world in terms of the proportion of the female population. I don't know if it ranks first in the world. I know that the proportion of the female population is quite large, but it is certainly much larger than the male population. And, probably, now this proportion is unlikely, or rather, has definitely changed for the worse. You see, demographic processes are long-term. And even if you gather 9 pregnant women, they certainly won't give birth to a child in a month. And these are processes that, when planning, need to be taken into account for decades. In general, we know what steps can be taken, but the first step, absolutely obvious to all of us, is an end to military action. Well, this is simply a necessary condition, because the issue is not even that men are dying, but that families do not want to have children due to some kind of strategic instability. But this will not be enough to reverse the negative demographic trend. And whether it will be possible to reverse it at all, I don't know. I don't have a ready answer to this question. I'm not sure that anyone has one. Will there be a collapse of the US economy and this global in the fall? Well, I've seen predictions that this is possible. Moreover, I know that these predictions were also made by the Russian side, but now they are more cautious. That is, there may be a decline, but a global crisis will be avoided. It is very difficult for even good economists to predict a global crisis. There are too many variables. In particular, here you go. The crisis could have probably developed even more intensely starting from last year and this year, not in Russia, but globally, if not for artificial intelligence. Now I'm moving up and starting to answer the questions that are being asked at the top. Logically, after the upcoming transition of power, the new head of state will have to almost immediately expose Vasilievich's double, otherwise he will put himself in an extremely awkward position. Yes, I think that this is a mistaken assumption. Moreover, if we start with the exposure right away, the legitimacy of the government will be seriously undermined. Therefore, I would not expect this to be the first step. Because it will happen sooner or later, I know. I'd say it's planned, but definitely not during the transition of power or immediately after, when the government won't yet be fully confident and will be quite fragile. Am I correct in understanding that the people who will soon take the helm aren't the final version, but only the beginning? Others will replace others. Specifically, the top brass, I mean. Yes, you understand more or less correctly. Some of those appointed now will remain, and others will be replaced. This is a process of personnel renewal, including at the highest echelons of government, the highest echelons of power, which, well, will take about 2 years. When will YouTube, social media, and instant messaging apps be unblocked? Tentatively in the spring and next year. Tentatively. If the transition goes according to plan, who is militarizing children from kindergarten to university at all levels of education, and for what purpose? Why isn't your team doing anything about this if it's a top priority? It will be too late later, when the children grow up. Sorry, but it won't be too late. First of all, everyone is extremely skeptical about this, I would say, just like they were about communist indoctrination in Soviet times. I'm talking about the late Soviet Union. I experienced it all myself, so it won't be too late. Believe me, it's just like with the train. I said, train stop, 1-2, just 1-2 orders, and everyone will breathe a sigh of relief. Both teachers and those who oversee this policy, or rather, those who are ordered to implement it, all understand that this is pointless and counterproductive. And raising the VAT collection threshold to 22% and lowering the threshold for non-payment, that's the decision of your team, which has controlled 80% of decisions since the spring. I'd like to point out that the fragment, controls 80% of decisions, is in quotation marks. That is, the author apparently assumes this is a quote. But the thing is, no one ever talked about controlling 80% of the decision. The point was that the team influences 80% of the decision. Influencing and controlling are completely different concepts, because influence can be exerted in different ways and to different degrees. Influencing doesn't mean predetermining. That's the first thing. Second, 80% of a decision isn't 20. And third, the measures currently being taken in the fiscal sphere, unfortunately, are currently uncontested in the medium term, that is, for up to 18 months. Unfortunately, uncontested. Sometimes, just like in our lives, there are no good options left. We choose between bad and very bad. You don't want to go to the dentist, right? You don't want to because you're scared, and you'll have to spend money, but you have to. It's exactly the same with the economy, especially the Russian economy, which is currently in, well, a miserable and deteriorating state. So, the State Duma approved the draft of troops year-round in the first reading. What does this mean? When will conscription be abolished? Well, it only means one thing. You can be called up to the commission for a medical examination at any time during the year. Well, when, say, is not to be expected, especially spring or fall. Another thing is that, they will be sent to serve, as far as I understand, precisely in spring and fall. When will conscription be abolished, taking away the time and freedom of young men, young guys? Yes, I think that soon after the end of military operations, we now have a huge armed forces and there's no need, as far as I can imagine, for a conscription system. It is completely incomprehensible why people who, according to you and the SVR general, should occupy the highest positions in the state, being, in a banal sense, children of the current system, will support political and economic reforms after the completion of the transition that will push the country towards development and law. Do they share your views? Yes, some do. Our views. That's the first thing. Second, you never forget about generational differences. They're significant in this case. The people you're referring to, the ones I know, grew up in the post-Soviet era. They have completely different socio-cultural perspectives, and they influence their parents to the extent that they can have a very, very positive influence. So yes, they're from the same family, but they think in many ways differently, and that's a very good thing. How will your team participate in the country's political life if, after the transition, representatives of Kemezovo's Putrashev factions remain in power or end up in power? You'll see. You'll be presented with completely obvious facts, evidence that you won't be able to ignore, showing how your team will participate in the country's political life. Your team can make pensions for deputies the same as they did for the people. After all, they were the ones who voted for those pensions. Let the people's servants have the same pensions as the people. That's always seemed like a good idea to me. In this case, I'm following a simple biblical principle. Whatever you measure, that's what you'll get. I think that would be the right thing to do. Those who voted for laws that worsen the economy, the social sphere, and society in general should be subject to certain restrictive measures. This isn't necessary, although lustration is likely. This includes some economically restrictive measures. Live on the money you proposed Russian society should live on. An SVR general wrote on his Telegram channel that Putin will announce, "I'm tired, I'm leaving," during a direct line, which is supposed to take place at the end of the year. Is this an assumption, or have we really seen it? Yes, it looks like we've seen it. It looks like it. I can't assure you 100%, you understand? Until that happens, until it happens, there will always be some degree of risk. What kind of transition of power are you talking about? Repression in Russia is intensifying, increasingly absurd laws and taxes are being passed. They're rising. Well, I talked about taxes. What's the point here? The most logical assumption is that a gradual transition to an even more brutal regime is being prepared. This is logical from your point of view. In fact, what you call tightening, and what is actually happening and what we are actually witnessing, could have been much more brutal, effective, and widespread, if it weren't for the very team that has the honor of belonging to it, holding it back. That's the first thing. Secondly, in fact, all this cruelty is a completely obvious sign of a transition, because the people who are now at the helm of Russia, this Politburo, which is implementing a grandiose plan for political change, grandiose political changes, believe me, and they will be followed by economic ones. I'll be talking about this on October 30th. Grandiose in the history of Russia. Well, this can probably only be correlated, most likely, with the great reforms of Alexander II. Well, the way it was planned, they are afraid of the risk of destabilization, and, in general, I understand them. From my point of view, their fears they're exaggerated, but they're the ones making the decision, not me. And here we have to compromise with their understanding. It's obvious to me that Putin's role is now being played by a double, but the question is, how will they be able to reveal the secret after all these international meetings and the length of this period? After all, Trump and Xi will feel cheated. No, they won't feel cheated, they know that perfectly well. Why were they cheated? They know that perfectly well. It's no secret to them. But they're dealing with someone Russia has nominated. Ultimately, it's their business to think about. They don't say it. Well, if you Russians like it that way, okay, then live with such a person, live with a double at the head of state. Let's not forget that from the point of view of formal legal logic, or even not logic, but casuistry, the guy we call Putin won the 2024 election. So, from their point of view, he's legitimate, right? And this is precisely the hook that allows us to recognize the validity of all the measures, the legal steps that were taken. But they can also be challenged. This is a very interesting question, I think, for lawyers. It can involve some very sophisticated, fascinating legal casuistry. Am I correct in understanding that you and your team are currently responsible for 80% of the decisions made in Russia? No, I was incorrect in explaining that influencing 80% of decisions does not mean making these decisions and controlling them. No, I'm not even mentioning that even influencing 80% of decisions is a relatively recent phenomenon. It's only been around for a few months. And who influenced them over the past 25 years? Don't forget that these processes, these are large-scale processes, these are historical processes, have a very strong inertia, colossal inertia. Tell me, please, who will congratulate our dear Russians on the new year of 26? Andrei asks. I hope it will be someone else. I hope so. You've repeatedly said that a few years after the transition, the country could enter an era of gradual democratization. But that would be murder for the elite. It would be impossible to maintain it through hard work. You're deeply mistaken. Deeply and consistently mistaken, believe me. It's entirely possible to control the democratization process. It's entirely possible to maintain a strong position by compromise. That is, I'm not saying that the position and role of the current elite won't change. They will vary, very much so, but it will be a gradual process. After all, what is a transition? It's not just about replacing the supreme power, you understand? Although this, of course, is the most visible proof, the most outwardly large-scale fact of a transition, its essence is in changing the system itself, that is, dismantling the Putin system. But it is a process. Because trying to overthrow this system through revolution, of course, this idea has been discussed. I won't hide it, but the consequences of implementing such a move would be extremely dangerous, perhaps even suicidal for the country. And I love my homeland and my people too. And not just me, but all the people I work with. Why did the SVR general announce a statement that the president should, say, resign during a live broadcast? After all, a public outcry is a guarantee of such plans being thwarted, right? No, in this case, it's not a guarantee of thwarting. That would be an emphasis on predetermination. After all, just like the SVR general, just like me, several months before the start of military action, well, at least since the end of November 2021, we were saying that the issue was already a foregone conclusion, the decision had been made, and we even set the dates for when military action would begin. Well, basically, these dates were named down to the week. In this case, we're also talking about predetermination. What will happen to the Politburo after the change of power? Will they leave or will they continue to shape the country's fate? Some of them intend to retreat into the shadows and try to influence politics from the shadows. Some intend to retire altogether. There are also certain positions they'd like to maintain, perhaps in the form of a control function. Basically, there's an agreement in principle, a strategic understanding that they'll step back. Svetlana asks a good question. Is the transition date linked to the outcome and timing of the Ukraine negotiations? No. The transition has been postponed since the end of last year. It was supposed to take place, in fact, at the end of last year. It was also scheduled for the end of last year and the beginning of this year. Back then, the possibility of concluding a peace agreement delayed the transition process. Now these two processes are decoupled. The Russian political elite, the Russian Politburo, decided that a transition must be carried out. After the proposed transition, will the Russian authorities course toward permanent confrontation with the West change? Yes, it will. This policy will change decisively. I don't mean to say that, well, there will be an instant 180-degree turn. Again, that's impossible. Well, in a completely obvious, significant, and fundamental way. Will there be subsequent waves of mobilization? No, nothing is planned. How did the Kremlin react to the interview with Alla Pugacheva? I have no idea. I wasn't interested in that. Will she be given foreign agent status? I consider this extremely unlikely and, from the government's perspective, disadvantageous. You previously said that a peace treaty could include a complete withdrawal of Russian armed forces from the Kherson and Zaporizhia regions. Is this scenario currently being considered? No, such a scenario is not currently being considered. It was being considered at the time I spoke about this. I have repeatedly stated that the Russian leadership is prepared to make very significant concessions, including completely withdrawing from the Zaporizhia, Kharkiv, and Kherson regions, subject to guarantees, and even giving up the land corridor to Crimea, subject to guarantees of unimpeded transit of Russian non-military cargo through Ukrainian territory. She was willing to do this if the European Union lifted sanctions. A quick and significant lifting of sanctions. No step forward was taken. What are the Kremlin's plans for the captured Ukrainian territories? Their plans are simple. Integrate these territories into Russian space. Well, this integration is moving into Russian space. We'll see what comes of it. You see, we're used to thinking, and this is quite natural within the framework of a human life, in fairly short-term terms, because in a human life, even a year, well, especially when you're young, is quite a long time, but look, 3 years of military action, more than 3 years of military action already. Could we ever have imagined such a long duration, even when the military action began? No, we couldn't. So, when we're talking about large-scale processes, you mean that, and as for territorial configurations, that's a reversible issue. I can remind you of the history of, say, the Baltic states, yes, not just the Baltics, but the history of the Soviet Union. Yes, and I can also remind you of the division and then reunification of Germany, because you can't say never in politics. Never, never. That's a very wise English phrase. Very wise. So, you can have one plan, but fate or history, or rather history, will decide otherwise. Is there a group of leaders in the Politburo that can block the adoption of major decisions? You know, they can very well block each other, so all major decisions there are made exclusively by consensus and through compromise. And this is a truly amazing thing, I tell you, for the Russian political elite. They have demonstrated a rare ability, in my view, a very important ability to reach an agreement. Well, dear friends, I've really reached the halfway point now, I think, answered the overwhelming majority of your questions. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much for having this feedback. I hope this connection will grow stronger, or at least be maintained, strengthened, and expanded. As I usually say in such cases, and I always try to explain why I say this, but I think it's clear from the content of today's episode, take care of yourselves, take care of your health. It's not about, you see, just living to see victory. We will all live to see victory, believe me, we will. We will enjoy its fruits, we will live in a normal Russia. A normal Russia. And that, too, will take some time. And this transition to normality will also not be easy. Therefore, take care of your physical and mental health, and help your family and friends stay healthy. This is very important. I will help you with all my might, and you, in turn, try to help me, try to help us in a way that is acceptable to you, by providing psychological support. Like sending rays of support, disseminating our information, if you can. Financially, that would be wonderful. Well, naturally, within acceptable and tolerable limits and amounts for you. You can see the bank details and the phone number for the fast payment system in the description of this video, in the first buried comment. You can use any payment method convenient for you. In this case, when you deal with me, all these transfers are absolutely safe for you. Absolutely safe. You can rest assured. Once again, take care of yourself. I will be with you until our inevitable victory, and beyond. I want you to know, firmly know, and have no doubt. No matter how difficult things are now, victory will be ours. It will definitely be ours.